waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined and heard my cry, lifted me up out of a pit, out of a miry clay, set my feet on a rock, made my footsteps firm. Many will see and fear, and I will sing a new song. Psalm of David 40. My goodness. Let's put our hands together for Jesus Christ. Let's give him glory. Wow. If you're feeling good about it, stand on your feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God through Jesus Christ. Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ. To you be all glory, honor, and praise in your church. Heavenly Father, we give you glory. We thank you for our Community Bible Church, CBC. Thank you for your light that's shining here. We thank you for you calling Trevor to shepherd your flock. We thank you for the men and women who've dedicated their lives to lift you up, just to see the ministries. And you have blessed us, not because we deserve it, but because of your goodness and grace and mercy. And just as beggars who have received bread, we want to turn around and share others the bread of life. So for the praise of Jesus, may this time be glorifying to your name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. And I won't do too many of those today. But we praise the Lord for activity of limbs. It's so good to be here with y'all, and it's, as I'm walking around, kind of have my mouth wide open, just looking, it's amazing to see the church family thriving and growing and growing. So shout out to everybody up top there and those online. And, our God is a good God, and there's opportunities for us to read the scriptures, to worship together. So it's an opportunity to have an active relationship with the Lord. And really, in times like these, turbulent times, nothing can replace a personal, active relationship with God through Jesus Christ. If you don't hear anything else, may he be yours and you be his, because you'll be all right. Not too long ago, I had the privilege to travel back home, see family, friends, and we had a good time. And we were flying back, and the pilot said, I want you guys to buckle in really quickly because it looked like it's going to be turbulence for most of the flight. And so when the pilot says that and then tells flight attendants, take your seat, and you see them buckling up, and this pilot, God bless him, I mean, he took us through some bouncing, Good to see you. Good to see you all. And a few drops, and it's something like if you fly a bit, it's like you're like this, and all of a sudden it's like, and you're waiting for it to come up, and then all of a sudden you come back up. And I found myself on the plane singing, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Hey, I was having some devotions. There are times that we face that are just like that flight, that are turbulent, rising and falling. For these next two Sundays, by grace of God and with his help, we're going to look at the book of 1 Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel, really one book, but in that book you see rising and falling. You're seeing the fall of some ungodly leaders like Saul. But then you see the rise of God's servant, David. And David, he wasn't squeaky clean. But the difference was he had a heart for God. He was inclined, he was a man after God's heart. And we're going to see examples of that in the story of how the Lord used him to rescue a place called Keilah. But just as David faced turbulent times on his way towards becoming king, all of God's promises are yes and amen. So that the times we face now, we can trust in the character of God who is faithful. And we can aspire to be faithful too and reflect his ways as we interact with other people. I'm mindful we ought to pray for those who are going through a season of grief. What happened in Texas? I'm mindful of those who are going through a season of grief, what's happened in the death of a migrant worker here. I'm not getting into the politics of it, but we can all agree that if you live long enough in this world, you will face pain and hardship. You will face some turbulence. And I don't know about you, but when the captain turned off that seatbelt sign and it went from turbulence and we got somewhere near New Mexico, he says, okay, we're going to continue our food service now. We're in clearer skies. I was feeling all right. And we serve a God who is faithful, that he's with us in a turbulence. So let's pray. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 23. And by God's grace, we're going to look at the ultimate hero of this story, which is the Lord himself. So let's pray. Eternal God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our times are in your hands. May the name of Jesus Christ be glorified in this time. Help us to learn from your word, not merely from the head, but have a transformed heart, so that how we live and love reflects your character to a dark world. Thank you for your faithfulness to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Thank you for your faithfulness to your servant David, who would reflect the ultimate son of David, you, Jesus Christ, and the fulfillment of all your promises in you. Be glorified for Christ's sake. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 23. And if you take notes, I'm grateful you have a little outline or section here. You can write your notes. We're going to read through the text. It's a bit long. And then we're going to go back through this narrative. It's a story. First verse, 1 Samuel chapter 23. Then they told David, saying, "Behold, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are plundering the threshing floors." So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack these Philistines?" And the Lord said to David, "Go and attack the Philistines and deliver Keilah." But David's men said to him, "Behold, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the ranks of the Philistines?" Then David inquired of the Lord once more. Notice that. And the Lord answered him and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will give the Philistines into your hand." So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines. And he led away their livestock and struck them with a great slaughter. Thus David delivered the inhabitants of Keilah. Verse 6. Now it came about when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David at Keilah. You might take a footnote there, because there's a backstory to why this priest fled to David. You can read that in chapter 22. That he came down with an ephod in his hand. When it was told Saul that David had come to Keilah, Saul said, "God has delivered him into my hand, for he shut himself in by entering a city with double gates and bars." So Saul summoned all the people for war, to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. Now David knew that Saul was plotting evil against him. So he said to Abiathar, the priest, "Bring the ephod here." Then David said, "O Lord God of Israel, your servant has heard for certain that Saul is seeking to come to Keilah to destroy the city on my account. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hand? Will Saul come down just as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant." And the Lord said, watch this, "He will come down." Then David said, "Will the men of Keilah surrender me and my men into the hand of Saul?" And the Lord said, "They will surrender you." Kind of deep, huh? Then David and his men, about 600, arose and departed from Keilah, and they went wherever they could. When it was told Saul that David had escaped from Keilah, he gave up the pursuit. David stayed in the wilderness in the strongholds and remained in the hill country in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. Story gets better. Verse 15. Now David became aware that Saul had come out to seek his life while David was in the wilderness of Ziph at Horesh. When we hear wilderness, think desert, arid place. You hear strongholds, think caverns and canyons. This is the topography or the landscape. Verse 16. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David at Horesh and encouraged him in God. Thus he said to him, "Do not be afraid, because the hand of Saul, my father, will not find you, and you will be king over Israel, and I will be next to you. And Saul, my father, knows that also." So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord. And David stayed at Horesh while Jonathan went to his house. Verse 19. Then Ziphites came to Saul at Gibeah, saying, "Is David not hiding with us in the strongholds of Horesh on the hill of Hakilah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? Now then, O king, come down and according to all the desire of your soul to do so, and our part shall be to surrender him into the king's hand." Saul said, "May you be blessed of the Lord, for you have compassion, you've had compassion on me. Go now, make more sure and investigate and see his place where his haunt is and who has seen him there, for I'm told that he is very cunning. So look and learn about all the hiding places where he hides himself, and return to me with certainty, and I will go with you. And if he is in the land, I will search him out among all the thousands of Judah." Then they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. Now David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon in the Arabah to the south of Jeshimon. When Saul and his men went to seek him, they told David, and he came down to the rock and stayed in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard it, he pursued David in the wilderness of Maon. Saul went on one side of the mountain, and David and his men on the other side of the mountain, and David was hurrying to get away from Saul, for Saul and his men were surrounding David and his men to seize them. But a messenger came to Saul saying, "Hurry, come, for the Philistines have made a raid on the land." So Saul returned from pursuing David, and David went to meet the Philistines. Saul went from pursuing David and went to meet the Philistines. Therefore, they called the place the Rock of Escape. David went up from there and stayed in the strongholds of En-Gedi. Now, if you track that whole chapter, kudos to you. I'll admit that the age that we live in, we often don't read. You know, we get things visually, or you may hear it on the radio. But it is a fascinating story to look at the work of God in the life of his people. In looking at scripture, and I've shared this with you all before, almost a year ago, one of the areas of Bible teaching is called exposition, where we're striving to go to the Word of God to see what it has to say to us versus what we have to say to it. And within the scripture, this is a narrative. It's a story, and there are characters within it. And one of the persons in this particular story is King Saul. King Saul is a troubled man. He's troubled on several levels, because if you read his story, he had lived in rebellion towards God. His disobedience led for him having the kingdom torn away from him. If you read when he was called to put to death the Amalekites, and he decided to go for the wealth and riches and kind of really put himself in league with the king of Amalekites, and Samuel comes under God's direction, he says, "Obedience is better than sacrifice." And he gets the sad word that the kingdom would be taken from him and given to another. And if you read a little bit more, talking about Saul here, this Saul that we're reading about, 1 Samuel 23, he descends even further. When God anoints David to be the king that would be rising up, God's hand and blessings on David's life in such a powerful way that he goes out to fight the Philistines, to fight the enemies of Israel, and the people are singing a song saying, Saul has killed his, and David has killed his. And how does that go over with Saul? He loses it. One of the most dangerous kinds of people to deal with in this world are folks who have drunk in jealousy and envy. God loves us, and it's a dangerous thing to look at someone and want what God has for them while simultaneously being disobedient to what he has for you. And God punishes Saul, and he removes his spirit from him and gives him a demonic spirit so that Saul starts to lose it. And it's a dangerous thing when you have a leader who's not led by the Spirit of God. And so there are times where Saul would get enraged and they would call for David, and David would lead in worship and soothe this man until that spirit would rise up. And if you're Bible readers, what would he do? He would try to kill him, take his spear. God was merciful and patient with Saul. And over, you see that play out. So much so, you see Saul in this text is pursuing David. Now, they are a nation at war. They're at war with the Philistines. They're at war with the Amalekites. They're at war with the Moabites. They're a nation that has surrounding Gentile nations. This is the Old Testament time. And Saul, because he's filled with the spirit of jealousy, who's the main focus? Let me get David. This is the backdrop of it. So much so that David runs for his life. And he shows up at a place called Nob in the previous chapter, chapter 22, and he's on the run, him and his men. And the Bible says that everybody that was distressed and harassed kind of came down to David, all the folks who were struggling. And he shows up at Nob and talks to the priest at Nob, Ahimelech. He said, you guys got anything to eat? Charles International Version, gives him food. And David is struggling, and I'll get to him in a little bit. But in this story, he receives bread and the sword of Goliath. He leaves that place, but before he leaves that place, there's a man named Doeg, who's an Edomite. You can read this for yourself, who's one of Saul's servants, and he sees David there. He's like, and David is under a ruse. He's pretending that he's on a mission of Saul, but he's running for his life. Word gets back to Saul. And Saul is in a place, unfortunately, in his leadership. He's like, this person, they're out to get me. They're out to get me. Insecurity in anybody can be an ugly thing if we don't go to God to deal with it. But when it's in leaders, it creates a toxic, petty environment. Not to psychoanalyze Saul, but a good part of what's happening in 1 Samuel 23, Saul is pursuing David to murder him. And he's not commanded of God to do that. It's kind of a dark thing. But do people do that today? Footnote, let's listen to the Spirit of God, not the flesh. And let's lead as servants. And then there's David. I'm just talking about people in this text. David is anointed by God. And God never told David to go to the land of the Philistines to live. But he's on the run. Don't let the enemies of God cause you to flee to other enemies. But yet God is so faithful to his promises that even as he's living behind enemy lines with the Philistines, God in his grace is protecting him and guiding him, and that's what the story of Keilah is about. And I share this with you, not that we would take God's grace for granted, but we can trust God's in our trials, whether they're the trials that are brought to us by others, or in some cases, the ones we walk into ourselves. Can I get a witness that sometimes the troubles that you faced have been of your own making? I got a few. Now, I won't do as my good friend said, go sign up for the food pantry. Love you, David. But we can learn from it, though. And David is in a place, so much so that now he has to run for his life, and there are men with him too. Footnote, as David is being prepared to be king, the men that would serve with him and fight, they would later on be a part of his army. So isn't it good to know that our trials can be transformative as we walk through life? Then there are the people of Keilah. We don't hear too much about this, but in the kingdom of Israel, well, they sadly separated Judah to the south, Israel to the north, but they were all Israelites. And Keilah was a region that would have been adjacent or close to the land of the Philistines. The Philistines were mainly towards the Mediterranean. And because they were close towards them, they were subject to attacks. They dealt with the brunt of the assaults of the Philistines. And even though David is on the run, he is a soldier of the armies of Israel. And you see even his bit of his heart to still protect his people, which is commendable. There's a lot to be drawn out from this text, and if you write notes, here are some. And by the way, the hero of this story is God. Always, amen. His wisdom, his sagacity, that he can actually work and weave stories in such a way that he can tie in all the loose ends all at the same time, which is amazing. He can address Saul and his issues. He can train David at the same time. He can develop those that are following him. And he can also help the Israelites to come to discover who the true king would be. So if you write notes, here's some. Number one, seek God's guidance in every decision. Seek God's guidance in every decision. David consistently inquired of the Lord before taking action, even when the situation seemed urgent and dangerous. This demonstrates the importance of seeking the Lord over relying on human wisdom and fear. It is easy for us to go autopilot and make snap judgments. We've always done it this way, that kind of thing. Or I'm afraid, so I'm just going to act out of fear. Versus, wait a minute, let's pray about this. Maybe we read scripture and pray at the same time. I'm glad to see prayer, and because that reliance on the Lord is what we all need, even more than air itself. David, in this text, you can count the number of times where he and the people that were with him, he encouraged, hey, we need to pray about this. If you heard the word ephod or ephod, however you want to say it, that was an instrument that was used to discern the will of God. So Abiathar, the priest who's on the run too, he brings it, and David is like, yeah, as we pray, let's see what God has to say. And guess what? Did God have something to say about it? Has God changed? God is the same. He tells us to seek first his and all the, amen, y'all are some Bible readers. And I need that. Can I get a witness? Anybody else need that? I have some loved ones that had to escape abusive situations. And I didn't have a chapter and verse that said, do this at this time and call the police at this time and bring the car over at this time. We needed wisdom. I don't know what to do, but God does. And these folks I'm thinking of, the Lord got them out. And if he did that for David, he can do that for you. Amen. So that's the first point. There's a few more. And, oh boy, I came with some dad jokes this morning. Like Zsa Zsa Gabor said to her husbands, I won't be with you too long. Some of y'all got that. A few more points here. It's five of them. The second, obedience to God's direction. Obedience to God's direction. When God instructed David to go to Keilah, he obeyed despite his men's fears. Obedience, even in the face of uncertainty or opposition, is a key principle for spiritual leadership and personal faith. There's times where we know what to do, either in direct command or in principle and also led by the Spirit, because the Spirit won't deny or go against his word, then we need the courage to go ahead and do what's right. And that could be hard. That could be unpopular. And part of what you see with David is with all his highs and lows, he had a heart after God. And sometimes the people cheered. Sometimes you're going to get a boo. But the main thing is that you please what please the Lord. I recall years ago, there was a ministry, a church that had some old properties, and they used to do food outreach similar to here. I'll never forget this because in the town, they had different ministries to the homeless. Not them, but there was a ministry. And I'll never forget, the church property had this dilapidated, just imagine like some old buildings that were dilapidated, right? And from time to time, the homeless would come to the church and minister. And long story short, that homeless ministry had carpenters, they had people that were welders, people that could build stuff. And they came to the church and said, hey, we appreciate visiting you guys. Our lease is now up over in, we'll just say, this town over here. Would you consider us renting your church property? And we'll fix it. We love you and we'll keep coming, but would you consider that? And I recall in this church just years, this is over 20 plus years ago, there was a group of folks that met about that. And part of the church was like, yeah, you know, we're not doing anything with it. It's already running down and we can help these folks who need help and they'll help us. And then there was a part of the group that was driven by fear. And they said, oh, I don't want any drug addicts. I don't want any this. I don't want any that. We don't want them around. I mean, they just kind of laid it out. And it was one of the heated, one of those good old down-home church fights, you know? And the church went on and on about it. So eventually, you know, the people that were offering it, as they kind of heard how they were viewed, they were like, well, we don't want to be a burden to you, and we'll still fellowship with you, but we're sorry that you don't want us here. And they said no to them. And I'm not putting this church to shame. I'm just telling you the story that the decision was born out of fear. And to this day, that church and those buildings are just the same. In fact, one of the buildings was condemned. There's another one that's, and basically the city's kind of pressing them to do something with it. And this is over 20 years. Now, that's a long aside. It's not meant to guilt folks to run out and just give to the local homeless shelter. But David had a choice when God said, you need to go rescue these people. And his men were like, Dave, we've been fighting already, and we're fighting enough in Judah. You want us to go all the way over to Keilah? He's like, yeah, this is what God wants. All right, let's go. How many know obedience sometimes is hard? Sometimes it's unpopular. Sometimes it's painful. Here's one, sometimes it's dangerous. All authority has been given unto me, these are the words of Jesus, in heaven and earth, go make disciples of all the ethne. Teach them to observe and obey all that I commanded you, and lo, I will be with you always. I may have messed that up, but it's in Matthew 28. You can read it for yourself. So it might be, obedience might be knocking on the door of your next door neighbor. Hey, you know, nice to meet you. I go to CBC Church. Can I pray for you? Less than 10% of professing Christians in America will share their faith with anybody. God has not given us a spirit of, but of, and thank you for coming by, and I appreciate, you know, these last few weeks you've been coming by and Can I tell you something? My husband beats me. I thought you were a Christian. I've been wanting to talk to somebody, and I really appreciate you coming by. Pray for you. Yeah, you know, thank you for coming. I've been out of work for 6 months. I can't seem to get a break. I've been flying all over the place. My wife is threatening to leave me, man. Can you pray for me? You have any job? So the courage to obey and act on God's word may have risks, but it has rewards too. All right, I've been kind of long on that one. Are we on number two or three, y'all? Three, courage to act on God's word. Did I say that? All right, let's keep it going. God confirms his promise, number four. God confirms his promises, God not only gave David direction, but also confirmed his promise of victory. This teaches that God reassures and strengthens those who seek and trust him, especially when the task is difficult. In the story, he seeks the Lord several times. Before the battle of Keilah, when they're on the run, and notice that Jonathan, isn't it good to have friends? I mean, friends that love the Lord. Technically, from a human standpoint, Jonathan would have been next in line to be king. But Jonathan was a God-fearing man. He reverenced God, and he saw that God had anointed David even over his father. He said, Dave, you're going through it, Dave, but you keep following after God because you're going to make it to the throne. And maybe we don't say enough about the benefit of godly friends like David, like Jonathan. They covenanted with each other. There was a sense that their relationship was blessed of God. And it reflected God's promises. David had it confirmed through Jonathan's words. And along the way, we have people that provide that cool drink of water. I'm curious, just by a show of hands, who has experienced that here at CBC by somebody? I hope so. Don't be ashamed. Put it up high. Look around. And so one day we hope to see all your hands raised. And who knows, you might be that instrument to be that for somebody else here in this room, online, or in this community. Lastly, service to others. Number five, service to others. David risked his own safety to save the people of Keilah, modeling selfless service and concern for others' well-being. David served the Lord, and he served the people. Now, I often wonder what he might have done if he had known on the front end that they would turn him over. But that wasn't for David to know. And we're to serve the Lord with the motivation that it's for him. And that's, David had a heart after him. So as you go through your trial, whatever it may be, maintain your walk with the Lord. He rewards those who seek him diligently. He invites us to ask for his direction through reading his word, through praying to him, through obeying him, and having the courage to act on it. And even while we do it, to be thinking about how can this be of service to others. A lot to be said, but the best thing is that Jesus Christ, the ultimate Son of David, who would perfectly do the will of the Father over and over again, he's the pattern for us, and I pray through your trial, you lean and depend on him. God bless you in Jesus Christ.